Even that sounds flashy for me.
I'm Sean Cannon. That's Craig Finn. And don't let him be modest. From Louisville Public Media, it's The Guest List. Steer into it. You know, last time I talked to Craig Finn, after releasing his second solo effort, Faith in the Future, he wasn't really a solo artist. He was, as he put it, a dabbler. But now that he's released his third solo record and didn't put out a Hold Steady album in between those two, it feels a little different, both for fans and for Craig himself. You know, he's gotten more comfortable in the role of solo artist, and it shows on his latest release, We All Want the Same Things. But you know, that didn't happen because of some concerted effort or any forethought on his part. It's because that's just what happens when you do the work. Which is convenient, since, as Craig says here,
I like working. I mean, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. And so we just started recording. I said, you know, like, I don't know if we're starting an album, but let's, like, I've got these songs, let's start them. And some of those songs did end up on the record. So, but the big chunk of the record was made about 6 months later. We went to Rhinebeck's, which is in upstate New York, and did kind of put a bigger session together. Sam Kassir played piano, Joe played drums, Josh played guitar and a lot of instruments. A guy named John Shaw played bass, and Matt Barrick from the Walkman played some drums too. A guy named Stuart Bogey played a bunch of sax and other reed instruments. So we kind of put more people in a room at once to create the big part of the record.
You know, it's funny. I feel like last time I talked to you, actually, maybe you mentioned that you were going to record some songs, because it wasn't long after the record came out when we were at the Taft.
Yeah, was probably October 2015. So that was probably in the month between the record came out and when we started recording.
Yeah, because you were talking like, oh, yeah, I've already kind of maybe got some stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, usually you kind of let something simmer at least a little bit.
Well, I think you might, but I think what I realized with the Faith in the Future record was, and this is unavoidable, it's vinyl has become such a big part of putting a record out, and people love vinyl and I do too. It takes like 6 months to manufacture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't like I just turned in the record when the record came out, Faith in the Future. It was like, it had been kind of hanging out for 6 months, and that's when the songs started building up. And I realized that, like, well, you know, I don't want to start at the end of the record cycle, because then the record's going to come out 2.5-3 years after the last one. So it's just about getting a jump and anticipating those production times.
But, you know, most people are fine, though, with, like, putting out a record every 3 years.
Yeah. I have a lot of songs.
And you also have two bands, too.
Yeah, I have a lot of songs. And you know, and I guess a lot of people my age have kids. I don't have any kids.
Okay. So,
you know, I go in and I wake up and I try to write and be productive.
And that's all you need. I mean, you know, you want to work. You want to, I remember talking to you about that, too, like the idea of actually going in and putting in the work.
Yeah.
But do you have to put out a record like basically a year after you put out the, you know, like a year and a half after?
You don't have to, but I
No, but do you have to?
I feel like I have to. I mean, I feel like releasing, I feel like displaying or releasing your work is part of being an artist. And I don't think, you know, recording songs to put in a shoebox is, it's not for me anyways. And I just don't think that's seeing things to completion as artistically.
So it's just a matter of like, I've got them, they're here, they're done. Not so much. Well, I've been working on these songs for a while and it's been a while.
Yeah.
So let's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's put them out. And also I think they're really good. I want to show the world. I mean, I'm proud of them and, we need to, I want to, put these on display.
at this point, how do you feel like your songwriting chops measure up to like Craig Finn circa 2000?
I mean, I think they're different. They're certainly the songs are created much differently. I mean, 2000 would be the time, like pretty much at the end of Lift Your Polar,
yeah.
And you know, those, that and the Hold Steady is much more of a thing where people get in a room and start making noise and the songs take shape and I'm yelling into a microphone and they take shape that way, where I guess the solo stuff is coming, you know, from a much a different place, or at least created from, you know, more of a music and lyrics coming together at the same time often. And a more solitary place, less people around. So it's a much different songwriting style. I think I'm more developed as a songwriter. I think I probably think more about what I'm trying to say.
We drove back all hungover, and all the way to Eau Claire, she played with her hair. Came up on St. Paul and she was sobbing.
Back then, though, did you even know what you were trying to say? You know, because sometimes it's a matter of realizing what you're trying to say.
I mean, a lot of it's funny because I think I had this question last night at one of the living room shows that in my answer realized that Lift Your Polar, I talked about like the most debauched stuff. Hold Steady, I talked about some debauched stuff, but I kind of talked about the hangover from it too. And then the solo stuff that I've been writing in my 40s is more about where kind of this people kind of getting washed up on the shore after all this, you know, and I don't want to say stranded, but yeah, just kind of ending up somewhere.
I mean, is that you? Like, is that that arc that you realized, or are you talking about yourself? Are you talking about what?
I don't know if I'm quite talking about myself, although, you know, certainly I see some of myself in that. I think that at 45, I see people, you know, I mean, you know, like when you're like, say, 28, you have that summer, those couple summers where you go to like tons of weddings. And I'm at the age where like my friends are getting divorced, you know? So
sometimes for a second time.
Yeah. It's like, so I'm interested in that, you know? I'm interested in like, I'm more interested in that than 19-year-olds, you know, partying and throwing up. So, and what kind of what the consequences are and how people navigate a life midway through. And that's all very interesting to me at this point.
You know, it just seems interesting to, like, it's the stage you were in your life is what you were talking about, except it wasn't necessarily you talking about, I mean, and I don't mean autobiographical stuff, right, but just like you weren't trying to say something about you.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, I think, is it Gregory Don, John Gregory? Joan Didion's husband said that the number one, the main character in every novel, the number one character is the novelist. And I think that that's probably true. I mean, you see yourself in these characters, but it's also, it's your peers, the people around you and what people are going through. That's where you're getting your stories from.
I'll have more on my conversation with Craig Finn in just a few. But first, here's a song that kind of illustrates the point he was just making. Recorded live at the WFUV studios in New York, it's Jester and June on the guest list.
Well, the bartender's friend sold us something I think was probably coriander. Fourth quarter, Hail Mary, wide receiver. Hail Caesar, the guy we've been waiting for. Came up from the catacombs, walked into the bathroom. Put it under the trash can. Now in and after. Remember, they used to call us Junebug and Chester. They used to call us Chester and June. We used to have our own tunes. We used to sing them in church. And then it got worse. much faith, paid too much cash to that one creepy kid at the car wash. Said he could make a few calls, but I don't think that he made any calls. Well, we probably should have tried the guy with the Dracula cape. Other than the cape, he was cool. He had that wild kind of sadness, like he knew something important. I wonder if he even remembers. They used to call this June Bug and Jester. They used to call this Jester and June. They were laughing, making jokes, laughing, making jokes, smiling in the smoke. They used to call this June Bug and Jester. Drink and fall in love, drink and fall in love, fall around the clubs. They used to call us Jester and June. We used to know all the tunes. We used to have our own church. Then it got worse. Well, now honestly, officer, that's a really good question. I'm just kind of distracted by those jangling handcuffs and the flashlights in our eyes. Too much faith in desperate guys. Too much fun in 8 straight summers. Do you remember Junebug and Jester? Now we're called Justin and Jane. We tried to push through the pain. We tried to work through the hurt. Try to build our own church. Now the cops got our names. It's Justin and Jane, the only people waiting at the car wash in the rain. The clubs have all changed, the buildings fell away. We were hoping that this corner might remember Junebug and Jester.
Recorded by our friends at WFUV, it's Craig Finn with Jester and June here on the guest list. Now let's go ahead and jump back into my conversation with Craig as we talk about the disparity in expectations between writing songs and writing other things, like movies or books.
There's always that weird sort of disconnect where, you know, a novelist or a screenwriter can write a movie, write a novel, and it's obviously not about them.
Right.
But it doesn't matter how far removed a songwriter tries to make the song. It doesn't matter how obvious it is that it's not autobiographical. People are like, well, it's still.
Yeah. I mean, I always joke that, you know, people want songwriting to be really confessional and they hope, I feel like they hold it to that where like no one thinks that Quentin Tarantino does karate or like chops off people's heads or anything, you know? So I think that that's a strain. That's one thing about songwriting that's is different. But I mean, even you know, if I was to write a novel about you know, espionage, chances are I wouldn't set it in Omaha. If I was looking for a Midwestern city, I'd probably set it in Minneapolis because I'm familiar with the streets.
I love that it's that practical. It's like, yeah. I just know the streets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like I wouldn't have to get up and look at the map to make, say, like, you know, where the headquarters was or whatever. You know, I could put it there.
But it's not subconsciously because Minneapolis somehow defines some part of your life.
Well, it's both. I mean, one is the other. I mean, the reason I know this where the streets are is because I spend all the time there, and then that's a big part of who I am.
Sure, but I guess what I'm asking is like, can you see where the practical aspect ends and the personal aspect begins for you? Or is it just so overlapping?
Well, I was talking about a novel. I mean, in a song.
Well, sure. But I mean, the concepts are very similar.
In a song, I could certainly put it anywhere because it wouldn't have to be as detailed. And, Minneapolis is important to me, and there's a lot of romance in it to me, and a lot of there's still a lot of fascination that I have with it, and a lot of songs still end up there, even being 16 years away from it. And I think that always will be. I think that it's always a part of me, and something that I can't shake, or even maybe I can't even totally explain well why my relationship with it. I'm sure a lot of people's relationship with their hometown is similar.
Yeah, it's just most of them aren't songwriters who've been writing songs about their well, not about their home, but writing songs with their hometown as the setting.
Yeah, yeah.
For, 15, 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, that even though I've lived in New York for 16 years, it's very hard for me to put a song there because it's, I feel like a poser a little bit. I think that's the Midwesterner in me. Because like the opposite of that is the guy who moves to New York and then 2 days later declares himself a New Yorker and then, is back in the Midwest in 9 months,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That guy is exactly who I'd never wanted to be. So I'm erring on the other side.
You're trying your best not to be too flashy about your New York credentials.
Like I don't know if I'd put it that way. Even that sounds flashy for me.
like a good Midwestern boy.
Yeah, it's just where I live, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of because also the other thing about New York is if you're of, medium to limited means, you kind of live in the shadow of the city sometimes. I mean, you can open up the New York Post and see these major galas with, very fancy people. And you're like, well, that's not my New York. My New York is much simpler and much more in my neighborhood. And, I can go to Central Park. I can go to the MoMA. I can do all that stuff, but I'm not getting invited to those kind of things. So when you're living in a smaller city like Minneapolis, I felt like maybe you feel like you're interfacing honestly with the city more often.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just, this is my Minneapolis, this is the
Minneapolis. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, and I guess New York is big enough that there's thousands of versions of New York.
Well, that's an interesting thought, too, though, because, in a sense, like, a place like New York, you own it, and then a smaller place where there's only one version, there's a sense in which it owns you because you have to figure out how you fit.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, there's certainly a place for everyone in a big city like New
York.
Sure,
yeah.
It's just a matter of finding it where there might not be that room for you in a smaller city, yeah.
We'll get into the last bit of my conversation with Craig Finn in just a few, but first, here's another live cut from his new album, We All Want the Same Things, recorded at WFUV. It's Preludes on the guest list.
Gangsters throw preludes and saw this one we called White Tiger. Park had a body, the holiday guy couldn't make change. And the parking lot scene still exists, but not without problems. I came back to St. Paul, things have progressed and got strange. I got stuck in a snowbank. Was too drunk to drive to a diner. Now right there is proof of my faith that God watches us. And the North Stars went south and my friends all went out to Seattle. And I stuck around town, hit the bars, wait for the bus. Guys in Northeast ride bicycles up to the market. Fish take to water, licenses they get revoked. And the writing on walls and the stalls and the bathrooms just seem so easy. but I never met Cindy. Besides, it might be a joke. Fish take to water, licenses they get revoked. Bank. I was too drunk to drive to Denver. Right there is proof of my faith that God watches us. And the North Stars went south, and my friends all went out to Seattle. Well, I stuck around town, hit the bars, wait for the bus. I was down on the trails by the river and this guy jumped out. He was waving a pistol. I considered my options, decided to do what he said. He went through my jacket and found all my packets and matches. He lit up a cig, put the kryptonite over my head. I was knocked out down in the mud, too heavy to float off to Memphis. Across from the camps, poked me awake with a stick. Made coffee over a campfire, I described my attacker. Well, they patched through my wounds, showed me a place to get sick. Well, they patched up my wounds, showed me a place to get sick. I got stuck in the snowbank. God watches us. We got into the preludes. God watches us. God watches us.
From our friends at WFUV, it's a live version of Preludes here on the guest list, which just so happens to be the lead cut from Craig Finn's third solo record, We All Want the Same Things, and it's out now. Here's the last bit of my conversation today with Craig. So back to the record. You know, you realize that you have enough songs to maybe put one together. Did you see any kind of specific theme develop for you that maybe wasn't there when you're? Because I'm assuming you're just working on a bunch of songs.
Yeah,
and they're just a bunch of songs.
Well, absolutely. And then there's something that reveals itself to you. And we got the collection of songs, and we started working on the ones we liked. I realized I'd written a lot about them. Kind of. Partnership and or some version of love that I don't want to say a cynical version because I don't mean it for it to be cynical, but sort of a study on modern love. And a lot of the characters in the record are people, you know, who are in relationships kind of convenience is maybe the word, or basically forming uneasy alliances to get through the world. I had kind of this idea of a action movie where a plane crashes and there's two survivors, a male and female, and they're in the jungle and they have to kind of partner up to get out of the jungle. And they don't love each other at first, but they both, you know, they can help each other. And I feel like, you know, when I was talking about earlier, like when people start to get divorced and stuff, especially if they have kids, you hear like, well, but we're a really good team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some spark has been lost, but we're really good at getting our kids to school. And, you know, putting dinner on, you know, like there's other ways where they're working well together. And I think that affected me. And a lot of the songs are about relationships that way. And, you know, one way that New York might have affected that or influenced that is thinking about with like a place where real estate prices are so high, you know, couples move in with each other really quickly in New York. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about a lot on the record. You know, some sort of not a pure version of love, but a teamwork that works on most levels.
Sure. How long? I'm assuming you and your girlfriend lived together. At this point. Yeah. How long was it before you guys moved in together?
Fairly quick. Let's see, probably 2 years. Well, 2 years. But I was touring a lot. No, it was a good 2 years. So that's not long for New York.
Yeah.
But I was touring a lot. That was absolutely something that was, revealed itself. Like I didn't set like, it turns out that was on my mind when I got all the collections of the songs together. I was like, wow, all these songs are kind of featured people that are kind of partnering up, or as I say, and making uneasy alliances to get through this world. And I guess I don't want that to be a cynical version of love, because I think there's some beauty in just that, like teamwork and a partnership, and maybe even though it's not a Disney version of, you know, a prince and a princess love, it's honest, and people are benefiting from these teams or teamwork or partnership.
Well, I mean, it's honest when people are honest about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that doesn't always happen.
No, but we're all born with an original sin, right?
I mean, I don't know. Has Pope Francis come out a little light on that? You never know what he's going to say next.
I'm pretty impressed with. I really like where he's gone with putting emphasis on the church's role in helping poverty. I think that's the one thing that the church can and should do.
Where are you on that stuff these days?
I'm always struggling.
It's always somewhere different.
I haven't been going to church that often, but I've come to the point where what I know about it is that when I really like going to Mass, it makes me feel good when I'm at Mass, for a variety of reasons, but the main one is probably being somewhat meditative. The rest, I don't know. You know, like, sure. And I'm not sure I ever will. But for now, I like, you know, I still love the concepts of forgiveness and redemption. And I just find a lot of beauty in going to Mass. And you know, I go alone and I get to spend time by myself. And I took my nieces to Mass on Christmas Eve. And they're 6 and 4. And one of them said, the older one said to the other, she'd gone last year. She said to the younger one, hey, are you bored yet? And it just started. And the younger one said, no, not really. She was coloring, so she was fine. And the older one said, well, and she pointed at the priest, just wait, because this guy's going to keep talking forever. And I don't know. I thought it was funny. And I just was like, wow, I've come such a long way, because I'm sure that's how I was when I was their age. But it is something I very much enjoy.
So if it's the meditative aspect of it, where like, are you really in tune with the homiletics and all that stuff, or
no.
or is that like, are you ever trying to draw something from that, or is it just like that? Well, he's going to talk a little while.
I've tried at various times, but most often I'm not, I'm in my own place.
Sure. So, I mean, would it be easier for you to then just go to, a church just like, whenever I can kind of hang out. That makes it sound,
but I like the rhythms of the Mass, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I like the people, you know, being around the people. I think from touring, all this time, I think I really like being alone in a crowd.
Mm.
That's like sort of my resting place, like being alone, kind of being lost, or being in a cafe where no one knows me, that kind of thing. Like that, I get like, a peace from that, more so than I do like being alone in a place where I'm really alone.
Just alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, have you always been that way though, where, being around people is better than being by
yourself?
I think
so, but not always talking to people, but being around some people. Yeah. Like I like walking, like when I'm tour, I like walking around, going to places, you know, that kind of thing. That there's a piece in that. And also it's probably somewhat influential, or it gives me material to write about.
Oh, sure. Because if you're actually observant,
yeah.
And you seem like an observant guy.
Yeah. And I'm a pretty good eavesdropper too.
Before we get out of here, I've got one last track recorded by our friends at WFUV in New York. This is Craig Finn with Be Honest on the guest list.
Well, their body was an outpost for ideas that didn't work. A nation failed and broken, invaded and then burned. And the crumbles and the ashes that settled in a purse were the ruins of an empire. People we once were, we were limping up towards Lake Street, and she motioned towards the church. She said the hardest thing they asked me is a man that doesn't hurt, 'cause it's not pain, it's more like pressure on the edges of my eyes. I see scales and bloody feathers when I look into the lights, and my password is be honest, and my network has evolved, and I can't guarantee it could be every time that you call. And it's spooky how they all go away, and it's strange how they just disappear. Really sucks getting sick on the bus, it's even worse when the teenagers cheer. Ain't it funny how we all get by, not the way that makes us laugh. The lust burns off into handshakes and hugs, in the end it comes down to the cash. I was calling from the car park. They kicked in the door, they pulled the pistols from the holsters, put the people on the floor. It's not the fear, it's the frustration, getting sick of being scared. They pulled your princess to her feet, made a handle from her hair. I was thinking about the progress, how a change is gonna come. I was hearing the announcements, I was running from the guns, and desperation fueled the dancers. There's a sadness in the sex, and we lingered over dinner. We ran out on the check, and our safe word is still stop it, and our style is self-involved. Every time that you call, ain't it something how the people switch partners? Just gotta wait your turn. It's really hard getting kicked in the heart, it's even worse watching big buildings burn. Ain't it strange how it all fades to black just when it starts to feel really nice? I was banging around your party trying to locate all of the love and the light. And the speed had crested early, but then it ran its course, and I showered and got ready, and I started on my chores. We were rushing through the blood, it was coming from my pores, and my heart was charging forward. I threw up off the porch, we were limping up towards Lake Street. She motioned towards the church, said the hottest thing they asked me, it's a man that doesn't hurt, 'cause it's not pain, it's more like pressure. But in some ways that's much worse. The ruins of an empire, people we once were. The revolution's really coming, then we'll all need to be well. So maybe it's just best we both take care of ourselves.
Craig, man, thanks.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking some time to do this. I really appreciate it. I've heard a couple of tracks from the record, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it's good. I'm really proud of it, so I hope everyone likes it as much as I do.
Live from the WFUV studios, that's Craig Finn with Be Honest here on the guest list. And I'll mention this again. Craig Finn's third solo album, We All Want the Same Things, is out now. Well, that's all we've got for you this week here on the guest list from Louisville Public Media. Stacey Owen is our executive director. Andy High is our technical director. We get special assistance from Margaret Darling. And I want to say thanks to WFUV for providing those live cuts from Craig Finn. You can find everything we have to offer on our website, wfpk.org/guestlist. I'm your host and producer, Sean Cannon. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Cannon. You know, if you're still listening at this point, that means you're probably a fan. So just consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast, because it really does help. Oh, and by the way, if you want these amazing white coveralls, well, you gotta talk to Red Cap. I'll see you next week. Steer into it.